This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
All right, the question, of course, is... what did Joe Biden say? That'll be an ongoing question throughout the hour of Nonstop Talk and the rest of the show. And the question, of course, is what does China know and what is China not telling us about all this? 855-839-1210. Great to have you with us today. Appreciate it very, very much. On Twitter, at Rich Cioli. Today, I'll be launching my afternoon podcast. So it'll be released around 4 o'clock, 4-ish. All you got to do is subscribe. Just search it on the on whatever platform you use for your podcast. You'll see my smiling little face. You can subscribe right there. Today, we'll put it out with our normal podcast in case you subscribe to that. But I'll remind you in the podcast to subscribe to the new podcast, too. But 45 minutes, give you an update of what's going on in the world and the day. It'll be fun. So please do that. I would appreciate it very, very much. And that'll be good, you know, because you got, look, the afternoons, you need something to help you get through it, right? The question, of course, is what did Joe Biden say? It's on the table. It said this.
My butt's been wet.
All right. Now I hear my butt's been wet, which is probably not what he said, but that's all I hear. And I'm a child inside. So, Ted, what do you think the president was saying there?
It's one of two things. He was saying, what's the question? Or he's gone, where's Dawn?
Oh, you think you might have been saying, where's Dawn? It's a good twist right there. Good twist, because that's what the creepers say. They go, hey, where's Dawn? Yeah.
That's right. It's all about Dawn.
He could have been saying that, Ted. Good job, buddy. I like it. What do you think, Dawn? Is that possible that he was saying that?
Possible.
Possibly, right?
You never know. Wants to sniff my hair.
I mean, he probably would like that. You know what I mean? Nancy, what did you hear the president say?
I heard the same. I heard, what's your question?
So what's your question?
My butt's been wet.
Yeah, I still hear my butt's been wet. Maybe, this is because I'm a child, I guess, in my head. I don't know, you know? It's very possible. All right, Nancy. Well, thank you. You're probably right. Appreciate it very much. Thank you, Nancy. Have a great day. All right. So subscribe to the podcast. Do that. Over the weekend, Politico had a story, and this is all about China. China's rebuff of the World Health Organization's new COVID probe. And experts are very worried about this. You're not hearing about this. You are not hearing about this outside of the show. And I've been talking about this for ever since March of 2020. I've been saying this. I still believe that if you were ever going to make a bioweapon on the world, this is the perfect bioweapon. I really think so. I think it's perfect because it doesn't kill a lot of people in terms of, if you contrast that with other bioweapons that nations have been working on in the past, like smallpox weapons or Ebola or anthrax. So if you're looking for an economic, you're using an economic weapon, then what you do is a virus like this one, which is highly contagious, but relies on people then buying your stuff, your PPEs that you make, your masks and your other stuff. So leading U.S. infectious disease experts are warning China's rejection of a World Health Organization plan for another COVID-19 investigation inside the country threatens to deny the world critical data needed to identify and head off future pandemics. And experts told Politico that the denial of access to Wuhan, the original epicenter of the virus outbreak, deepens growing suspicion that the Chinese government is attempting to cover up the possibility that the virus was intentionally engineered. Politico. Politico is not a right-wing newspaper. It's out of D.C. It's very, I would say if it leans anything, it definitely leans center left. It's certainly not conservative. It's not. This isn't Breitbart. This isn't Alex Jones. This isn't me. This is Politico. Experts told Politico the denial of access to Wuhan, the original epicenter of the virus outbreak, deepens growing suspicion the Chinese government is attempting to cover up the possibility that the virus was intentionally engineered. Quote, we have already had two coronavirus pandemics come out of China, and it's more likely than not we will have another coronavirus pandemic come out of China. So a China-based probe is our best chance to get our hands around how this gets out of bats and into humans. Guy who said that is the dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. We can't do this without going to China. There is no way you can get to the bottom of this from 5,000 miles away. But the Chinese government has bristled at international focus on China as the possible origin of COVID-19. Instead, it has insisted that it came from the United States. Now, the head of the World Health Organization wants a second investigation into the labs. They want to look into this. They want to do audits of relevant laboratories and research institutions operating in the area of the initial human cases identified in December of 2019. Now, they want to get into that lab. China is not going to let them in. And what they said was, Michael Osterholm, the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, said, I think what the World Health Organization is asking of China was perfectly reasonable. It makes people suspect this is a man-made virus with an intentional release. Intentional release. Osterholm argued that China's rejection of the probe will fuel conspiratorial speculation about how the virus emerged in China. It makes people suspect this is a man-made virus with an intentional release. My question is, why is that conspiratorial? If it's not a man-made virus with an intentional release, what is China hiding? What is China hiding? Now, Johns Hopkins, the Bloomberg School of Public Health guy, they called China's rejection of the probe very problematic. And they attribute this to the Chinese Communist Party's determination to stifle any potentially negative revelations about the origins of COVID-19. Now, think about this now. How do we ever prevent another pandemic from happening if we don't get to the bottom of this pandemic? Think about it. A U.S. Congressional Research Service report released on July 9th noted that as a result of the pandemic worldwide, 95 million people may have entered into extreme poverty, with 80 million more undernourished compared to pre-pandemic levels. So again, if China has an economic motivation here to drive their enemies into poverty, like India, for example, further into poverty, to cause the United States to spend more money buying PPEs, and then it makes sense then, too, that China would do this on purpose. If China didn't do it on purpose and it was an accident, why won't they let us figure that out? If this wasn't man-made, why wouldn't China let us understand this? This is exactly what this Politico article is all about. And again, it's Politico. It's not Breitbart. Politico. Democrat Representative Ami Bera, chair of the Subcommittee on Asia, the Pacific, Central Asia, and non-proliferation, told Politico in a statement that China's moves rejecting the probe is unacceptable, and she wants a comprehensive, transparent, independent analysis into the origins of COVID-19. We are demanding things the Chinese government will never agree to, such as banging on the door of the Wuhan Institute of Virology to show the notebooks, which they will never agree to show. There is a misunderstanding by the World Health Organization that you will get to the bottom of this by talking to the Wuhan Institute of Virology scientists and poring over notebooks. Are you going to do a search of the 15,000 pages of Wuhan Institute of Virology notebooks and look for where someone wrote down the word oops? No, you're never going to do it, they say. It's not going to happen. China's going to keep covering it up. Akam Steiner, administrator of the United Nations Development Program and chair of the UN Sustainable Development Group, acknowledged the World Health Organization has to do a very difficult tightrope walk in engaging with China in this volatile time. But China's interpretation of the probe as arbitrary foreign diktat doesn't help. Here's the problem, though. The United Nations is feckless and they're not going to do anything. The Biden administration is feckless and not going to do anything. The World Health Organization is feckless and not going to do anything. And I think the reality is that the longer that this goes on and we don't get to the bottom of it, the more that it makes people like me think that China is deliberately covering this up because China doesn't want the world to know the truth. That, yes, this was made in the lab, and yes, it got out, not by accident. I mean, that is a really strong possibility that this was intentional. And maybe it was intentional as a test and the test got out of control. You let Frankenstein out to see if he takes a walk and he winds up running. But it may not have been an accident. The Biden administration's potential role in helping broker a resolution to the impasse is limited. And the U.S. government needs to help the World Health Organization figure this out. Because otherwise, we don't know what else the Chinese government did in those labs. The World Health Organization and some of these experts in this political article are also very concerned about another point that we don't talk enough about. Ready? What else was China working on in those labs? And did China have its own vaccine? Did China have its own vaccine ready to go? And is the China vaccine, the Chinese vaccine that they're using around the world, is it actually effective in stopping the virus? All these questions need to be asked and answered, but nobody's doing this. Nobody is. Do you realize that right now that we are 16, 17 months into this pandemic, we still have not been in that laboratory. We still have not been inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Can you believe that? Is that not the most amazing thing? And here we are discussing this new variant. And people are wondering, could this new variant, could the key to this variant and the key to the next variant and the key to the next variant be in that lab? Because this virus was engineered in a way to keep changing and mutating and finding its way around vaccines, for example. I think that's a very strong possibility, and I'd like to get to the bottom of it. I want to see what's going on in that lab. I want to see the notebooks. I want to read them. I want to figure this out. I want to talk to the scientists. But you know, and I know, anything and anyone who could connect this to that Institute of Virology or to another Institute of Virology or to China in general is gone, baby, gone. People are gone. Notebooks are gone. Papers are gone. Computer files are gone. It's all gone. The time to get in there, the World Health Organization should have went in there in January of 2020. But instead, at the time, they were telling everybody, China's telling them this virus doesn't spread by human-to-human transmission, so you're good. We're sitting here right now talking about potentially putting on face masks again because of a new variant. And there's other variants that are still going to come. And we're listening to these experts tell us that the variant, this variant, means that you're going to have vaccinated people get sick and maybe potentially spread it. Well, doesn't it seem logical then to ask this question? Was this virus engineered deliberately to do that? Was this virus engineered in a way that it would learn and be able to figure out and manipulate around vaccines? If mRNA vaccines were being tested for 15 years, as we hear in those commercials of the PSAs, then was China testing them too into how they respond to this virus? Were Chinese scientists and the Chinese military working on ways that the virus could work around an mRNA vaccine? I don't know. These are questions that need to be asked and answered. And, you know, the fact that Politico wrote this story is pretty telling. Shows you how this virus has jumped into the mainstream in such a way that people want answers. And it shows you how the idea that it came from a lab has now jumped into the mainstream. It is part of the zeitgeist. But think about this. In the context of the other big debate we're having, which is the government deciding what is information and misinformation, how many months did we waste listening to the government, Facebook, Wikipedia, Fauci, tell us this virus did not come from a lab, and anybody who thinks it came from a lab is a conspiracy nut. Now you've got mainstream publications like Politico writing the following. The virus is winning. China's rebuff of the World Health Organization's new COVID probe alarms experts. The experts say a complete probe inside China is necessary to pinpoint the origins of the virus. And that all this is doing is fueling the question of, did China do this deliberately? And yet, for many months, we were told even asking this question or putting out stories like this was misinformation and should be taken down on social media. Another warning for anyone who thinks it's a good idea for the government to be in the misinformation game. 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210, if you want to weigh in on any of these matters today. Let me tell you, a lot of people are getting away, going on vacation. It's a beautiful thing. Going down the shore, I love it, right? This time of year. But then you got to take your shirt off on the beach. And you go, oh, yeah, I'm gonna put my shirt back on, maybe sit back on my chair. Don't hide your body. Just do something. NJ Diet. NJ Diet is the way to go. It's time to get healthy, and NJ Diet is with you every step of the way. NJ Diet's going to help you get slimmer and healthier this summer. It only takes 40 days to lose up to 20 to 40 plus pounds. The contractually guaranteed program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. And then NJ Diet utilizes DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan, your workout regimen, help you keep the weight off for the rest of your life. Make this the last program you ever do, right? You're going to be monitored by the certified staff every step of the way. Make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. You'll have access to the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet is committed to helping you keep the weight off for good. No surgery, by the way. No shots, no hormones, none of that stuff. Live online video consultations are available from home or go to one of their locations, King of Prussia or Cherry Hill. Call today, 855-5NJ-DIET. 855-5NJ-DIET or log on to njdiet.com. You can lose the weight for good with NJ Diet. njdiet.com.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
My butt's been wet.
My butt's been wet. All right, that's all I hear now. I'm like a kid. I can't get it out of my head, Dawn. I can't get it out of my head.
I know, it's so like I'm watching the responses. Now, one lady was nice. She said, God bless my wife, but I don't hear the God bless.
God bless my wife.
Yeah.
My butt's been wet.
And all I hear is my butt's been wet because I'm a child. I admit it.
Somebody else thought he said, the election's been swiped.
Guess the Biden nonsense line, the gibberish line. Greg's probably right. He probably did go, bop, bop, bop. But, you know, bop, bop,
so
bop.
So funny.
Anyway, Greg, good morning. How are you today?
What's on the cut sheet?
Monday edition to get the week started.
What's on the cut sheet today? Sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. Earn cash back with an American Heritage Cash Reward MasterCard. Earn 3% cash back on essentials like gas, groceries, and home improvement. 2% on dining and travel, and 1% on everything else. Apply at AmericanHeritageCU.org/creditcards. Insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. Thank you, American Heritage, for sponsoring What's on the Cut Sheet. Rich, let's start with the rising crime rate, and I know Vox over the weekend had an article about it's a rising homicide rate, not a rising crime rate. So let's make that distinction.
I was our boss walked by, our market manager, David Yadgaroff, and he was making fun of me because I'm wearing shorts.
Okay,
but you know what? I'm wearing shorts because right after this, I got to go do kid stuff. I got to, like, run out of here and take the kids and do all the little summer camp stuff you got to do. You know what I mean? I don't have time to change. I got to get right into it, Greg. That's the kind of hands-on dad I am.
Hands-on dad.
Hands-on dad I am. Besides, who cares if we're wearing shorts? Nobody's here.
Literally, no one is
here.
Hey, at least he's wearing pants.
I'm not wearing pants, actually. I'm going to take those off now next.
Friday, right. Friday in this office was like a ghost town, honestly.
It's like I saw tumbleweed rolling through the other day.
Yes.
And you know, with the Delta variant now, it's going to get even worse, too. I heard noise. I thought it was people talking. There were giant crickets literally making cricket sounds in the hallway. You believe that? Giant crickets. Anyway, Greg, you were saying.
Vox over the weekend had an article about how it's a rising homicide rate, not a rising crime rate. So there's a distinct,
I didn't realize that.
Anyway,
okay.
there are people dying in every major city around the country right now. A lot of people dying. And the D.C. police chief went viral over the weekend. D.C. Washington police chief Robert Conti spoke out on Friday about the rising crime and the way the justice system has been paralyzed by COVID lockdowns. This is part of a longer He went on for about 15 minutes, and if you have the time today, it's worth watching Robert Conti, the D.C. police chief. But I just took a little 90-second snippet of what he said on Friday.
But I'm going to give it to you straight, where the issues are. And where the issues are, the ecosystem, the justice system that we have right now, it is not functioning the way that it should. The courts are not open. That is a fact. Barely open. So cases from last year, from 2020 that happened during COVID, of violent criminals that have not been disposed of, what do you think those individuals are? Anybody want to take a guess? They're in community. They're in community, and their cases have not been disposed of. And the way that we're going and the things that we're trying to do, we want to help people. Yes, we should. But you cannot coddle violent criminals. You cannot. You cannot treat violent criminals who are out here making communities unsafe for you, for your loved ones, for me, for my loved ones. They might not want a job. They might not. They might not need services. What they may require is to be off of our streets because they're making it unsafe for us. And if that's what it requires, then that's what it requires. And we have to own that. It's easy. The police department, we're an easy target. You can easily focus on the police department, about what the police department did, didn't do, that. That's easy. I'm challenging you to look at the entire system. The laws that are in place for people who carry guns in our community, who do things to people in community, violent acts, are those things acceptable? Are they acceptable? And if whatever you say is acceptable, it's my responsibility to enforce that.
He sounds fired up. I can imagine how frustrating it must be for a cop right now to have to deal with this. And I think he's expressing what a lot of cops are feeling in this country right now. That's for sure.
What do you think about what he said in the beginning of this about how because of COVID and lockdowns and people can't do in-person, court dates and stuff like that, that people are just getting lost in the system or getting released or whatever?
I mean, you know what? It's really the first time I've heard a law enforcement officer articulate that point, but I know it's true. Because our official attorney for the show, Tom Skopanich, has told me court's still closed in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Still closed. So he's right about that. And they're letting people go more with greater frequency. And they're back on the streets of criminals. And yeah, and you've got people, they were pent up because of COVID. Then they get locked up. Then the system can't process them because COVID. COVID has contributed a lot to this, no doubt about it.
Yep. And him saying that, we can't coddle violent criminals. I wish they would, these police chiefs would, our district attorneys in this city and other cities would take, heed their warning. But
It'd be nice if Larry Krasner listened to that guy and said, I'm going to change my thinking now, actually. I'm going to think twice about this, but probably not.
Probably not. We've heard a lot about the reason that we're seeing this inflation, Rich, is actually a good thing because it means the economy is picking back up, right? We've heard that the Biden administration talks about how it's actually a good thing that prices for everything are skyrocketing because it means we're back, baby. But apparently that's not so factual. PA Senator Pat Toomey was on State of the Union with Jake Tapper on Saturday, and he took issue with that statement.
At a CNN town hall this week, President Biden dismissed concerns of Republicans and some economists that all this increased federal spending is going to cause long-term inflation. The president argued that the price increases that we're seeing now are a result of the economy picking up again after the pandemic. Do you think he's wrong?
Well, certainly he's factually wrong on that last point you just made. If you look at the price level of in our economy today and compare it not to a year ago when we had a big decline in prices, but rather to 2 years ago, before COVID ever hit, before we had the decline and then the recovery, we're running at a 25-year high rate of inflation. And it's not a mystery as to why. A big part of the reason is a massive expansion of the money supply. We've expanded the money supply the most since World War II, and the Fed continues to buy $120 billion worth of securities, pumping that money into the economy, despite the fact that we have strong growth. So there's no question we have serious inflation right now. There is a question about how long it lasts, and I'm just worried that the risk is high that this is going to be with us for a while, and the Fed has put itself in a position where it's going to be behind the curve. You combine that with massively excess spending, and it is a recipe for serious problems. That's one of the things I'm worried about.
Well, that's fun. And I'll tell you what, when people think that the pumping of the money and the interest rates is not going to come back and bite us, they're not paying attention to history because the dollar is going to lose value so fast. This is going to affect, Toomey's not running again, the Senate seat, the election next year. I know Jeff Bartos just did a big bus tour. You're going to see this battle is going to play out. I mean, the Democrats are, they're spending everything. And by the way, Pat Toomey did not mention, but I will, Britney Spears did a topless photo on Instagram.
What?
Pat Toomey did not mention that, but I'll mention it. So.
Wait, what?
Britney Spears, You know she's going through her court battle?
Oh, boy.
She showed a topless picture, and now people are begging her to lay low because she's trying to get rid of that conservatorship. And in her topless picture, she actually showed Cuomo's you-know-what, but hers instead. The nips. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe the judge isn't far off. That's not, no, I mean.
She looks great, though. I'll tell you what. She looks fantastic. Brittany.
She does. She's working out. And she's not. She's holding her breasts. Like her. She's holding her breasts.
Yeah.
While gazing into the camera.
Somebody wrote back and said, Brittany, we're trying to free you. Can you lay low for a bit? Like, can you just step out of the spotlight for 5 minutes while we try to get you out of this conservatorship, you know?
Somebody wrote, oops, she did it again.
Yeah, oops, this isn't helping.
Why? Why not?
What? Because she's showing her assets while she's going through this court battle trying to convince the judge that she's sane. And a lot of people are going, sane people don't show their tatas on Instagram. You know what I mean?
That's not true. A lot of people show their tatas on Instagram. Big deal.
I'm with Dawn on this.
A lot of
Big
people.
Whoopity doodah.
A lot of people in a conservatorship trying to get out of it. Do that? You think so? All right.
What about Miley Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus isn't in a conservatorship with a potentially abusive father.
Miley's dad's a good guy.
They should ask Pat Toomey about that. What do you think Pat Toomey thinks about Britney showing boobs? is that a good legal strategy, Senator, or bad? See, that's the kind of stuff that if they ask those questions to senators and
congressmen, more people would tune in.
More people would tune in on these boring Sunday shows, wouldn't they?
I agree.
Senator, would you advise Brittany to show tatas in the middle of this conservatorship fight, Senator? Anyway, what else we got?
So we all, I mean, working for a big company like we do, I'm sure there's many, many, many hundreds of thousands of people in this audience who work for big companies who we all have to watch those training videos, Rich. You know the training videos.
They're awful. They're terrible.
Yes.
They have the lowest grade actors that do these videos. And they can't act, and the production quality is terrible, and it's annoying.
Yes.
And everybody in America knows what I'm talking about if you work in a corporation, because you got to watch them.
Well, apparently, they're putting the critical race theory training into these training videos.
Oh, stop!
Now. So, the first company to kind of go public with this is Hasbro. You know, the toy maker? The toy company. So, it hasn't happened yet, but look for this. Like, you heard this here first at 7:57 a.m. on, what's today, July 26th, that your children's toys, will they go woke? Apparently, David Johnson is he's a packing engineer for Hasbro. He's also an African-American. So, he went public apparently Hasbro partnered with Conscious Kid. It's an organization dedicated to equity and promoting healthy racial identity development in youth. Basically, Rich, what this company is telling you, it's telling all the employees that watch this, is that by 3 to 6 months, your kid is racist, is basically what this...
3 to 6 months old, your kid's racist.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this gentleman felt like what he was seeing was not right, and he went public. And this is just a little snippet of what he said.
My name is David Johnson. I'm a packaging engineer for Hasbro. They are attempting to covertly push CRT, critical race theory, through branding and messaging through their products.
Explain what we're looking at here.
This is the program developed by the Conscious Kid, which is working with Hasbro to teach children about racial bias at an early age.
By 3 to 6 months, babies are beginning to notice and already express preference by race. By age 3, children are already starting to apply stereotypes. They also may use racist language intentionally at this age.
This is critical race theory in practice. It's a mainstream ideology now.
Stop. Have you seen the 3-year-olds at the Klan meeting
and the time.
Way they act?
Yep.
And,
awful.
You know, the biggest problem with babies at Klan meetings is they're crying and screaming racist tropes at the same time.
Yeah. It's hard to sometimes tell the difference, right? What's a cry and what's actually
They go, is the baby hungry or just expressing some racial animus?
Now,
it's hard to say, really.
Let me ask you something though. Are they referring to, let's say mommy is blonde with darker skin?
Yeah.
So baby recognizes blonde lady with darker skin is my food source. Like, is that what they're saying?
No, what they're saying is this. The baby goes, I don't want you touching me with your dark skin. Get it's me ridiculous. Someone white. Get me a white. That's what the babies. That's what the translation. You've been hearing, wah, wah, wah. But what they've done at Hasbro is they've slowed that down and they've isolated it. And the baby's actually saying, get me a white caretaker. That's true. That's true. That's they did that analysis.
Please.
You thought the baby's crying because its butt was wet. But actually, actually, the baby was crying because it doesn't like the color of the skin of the baby's brother. Yeah. So there you go. This whole time, who knew?
Critical race theory coming to Hasbro. I'm telling you, they may not. It may not be conscious, but this is going to affect the way they make toys. I'm telling you right now. It's
going
to affect 100%. The way they make toys, yes.
Yeah, it'll be the woke toy line that'll be coming out, and it's going to be terrible and awful. By 3 to 6 months, your kid's already a racist. Your kid is Archie Bunker by 6 months. Guaranteed, your kid is sitting there making comments.
By the way, if Hasbro is doing these training videos are coming to our... You know, not
I can't
just
believe
us,
they haven't come here yet.
But to you know? Most big corporations, right?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear if other companies have had to sit through this yet. Like if this is like a new trend now. But
yeah. You know, most babies scream at the hospital when they're born because they see somebody of a race they don't like. That's true. You thought the baby was just screaming as it was coming into the world. The baby's like, oh, my God, this person, you believe this nurse is Hispanic? That's true. I mean, that's what happens. These babies are racist. I've been telling you this.
Good for this African-American
good for this guy to speak out. Yeah, seriously.
Engineer for Hasbro for coming forward. And
what's his name again?
David Johnson.
David Johnson.
David Johnson, yeah.
Good man. Yeah. Good man, David. Thank you for warning us about woke Hasbro. Now, when do they have the woke, cereal and woke toys that are in the cereal? When does all that stuff happen, too? Do you know?
It's going to happen soon,
it's
right?
It's coming,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. All right. What else do we got?
Jen Psaki was asked about, you know, this. We are the most transparent administration in political history or whatever they claim to be. So there's been a lot of what they're calling breakthrough cases amongst White House staff, amongst vaccinated White House staff testing positive for COVID. I don't know if you heard this, Rich. So a reporter, and forgive me, I don't know who the reporter is, but asked Jen Psaki about that. And hey, if this is like, you know, for the public interest, like, can you disclose how many of these employees or these White House staff have become infected with COVID after being vaccinated? And of course, she gives her snarky answer.
This administration has long claimed that you're trying to be the most transparent history. If that's the case, why won't you just release the number of breakthrough cases that you've had of vaccinated staffers?
Well, I think first we're in a very different place than we were 6 to 7 months ago as it relates to the virus. And as many medical experts have said, inside and outside of the government, those who are vaccinated are protected from serious illness. Most are asymptomatic if they are individuals who are vaccinated who get the virus. We are in a different place in terms of the impact of individuals who may have, as you said, breakthrough cases.
Just provide the number. Are you trying to hide something?
No, but what is why do you need to have that information?
Case of transparency, the interest of public, having a better understanding of how breakthrough cases work here in the White House.
Well, first, there are the CDC tracks, and let me give you this information, too. The CDC
Let's
tracks.
Let's stop there for a second. Well, what do you need to know for? Transparency? Blah, 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 blah.
You don't have to play the rest of it. She just gives a bunch of gobbledygook.
Yeah. You're a member of the press. Why do you need to know the numbers of White House staff with breakthrough infections? Why do you need to ask that? Transparency, I'm a reporter. Blah, 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 blah. I can't hear you. Blah, blah, blah. It's basically her response.
Yes.
That's fantastic. 855-839-1210 is our number. Still wondering if you can translate this. All right. As we're doing our hour of nonstop talk, let me thank our sponsor. We're not going anywhere. USA Insulation. I did this years ago with our house, actually like 2 years ago. What a difference it made. I want you to think about a cooler at the beach, right? You pack in your hoagies and you pack in your drinks and everything, bunch of ice. Take the cooler to the beach and everything stays cold in there. You know why? Because that cooler is insulated. Now think about if you took all that stuff in just a plastic bag, what would happen, right? Insulation makes all the difference. And think about your house now in the summertime. You've got the air conditioner running, and if it's not insulated, it's like putting your food and your drinks in a plastic bag. All that cold is going to go right out. The hot air is going to get in, and it's going to make your house oppressive and cost you a fortune. But right now, USA Insulation, when they insulate your whole home, they'll insulate your attic for free. Now, it's through the walls from the outside, so you'll never see it, but you'll feel the difference. The foam fills up all those crevices where the air can get in and get out, and it creates this wonderful barrier. It's breathable, and it's great, but it makes a difference with your energy, and it actually pays for itself over time. So for a limited time, when USA Insulation foams your walls, they'll insulate your attic for free. So stop sweating. Start saving. Call today. 1-800-USA-FOAM. 800-USA-FOAM. Or go to usainsulation.net. Do what I did. You'll be comfortable. You'll be saving money. You'll be happy. usainsulation.net.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
You know, the vaccine shaming of Americans needs to stop. It really does. I'm tired of it. I really am. I'm tired of people getting shamed over this. It's a very personal decision. And I think that Ed Yong's piece in The Atlantic is excellent. America's getting unvaccinated people all wrong. They're not all anti-vaxxers, and treating them as such is making things worse. And I know we have an audio clip to go along with this, but let me just share a couple things with you from this excellent piece, which Greg put in my show sheet. And that is that as they talk to people throughout this country and they try to understand what's happening, Rhea Boyd, a pediatrician and a public health advocate in San Francisco, said the unvaccinated are not a monolith of defectors. She's talking about the fact that a lot of people just want to understand. They have questions. They're concerned. They want to understand things. And it's not that they're anti-vax. It's that they want to understand the vaccine. There's a difference. And yet they're all lumped in together. She's spoken to dozens of community groups, churches, schools, fielding their questions about the shots. The author reached out to her, wanted to know what she's learned through all these encounters about why some people are still unvaccinated and what to do about it. He said, he asked her, he said, you spoke in Georgia. You talked to people, 5,000 people there. What was it like? And the doctor said, I would have imagined the people who stayed on would be unvaccinated, but the people who asked questions were a mix. I had one gentleman who was vaccinated with the J&J shot, and he asked, did I get a safe shot? We affirmed for him that this far after his vaccination, he's likely safe. But that opened my eyes. If you've heard about that serious side effect and you're worried that you're at risk, you're probably not encouraging the people around you to be vaccinated. The author of the piece said, you know, there's a tendency to assume that all vaccinated people are pro-vaccine and unvaccinated people are anti-vaccine. But your experience suggests that there's also vaccine hesitancy among vaccinated people. Dr. Boyd said yes. And we tend to hear similar questions among people who are unvaccinated. They may also have heard common threads of disinformation, but they're still asking basic questions. The top one is around side effects, which are one of the main things we talk about when we give informed consent for any procedure. If people aren't sure about that, it's no wonder they're still saying no. A lot of vaccine information isn't common knowledge. People can't always Google things. Black folks are one of the least vaccinated groups, in part because they have the least access to preventative healthcare services, she says. And then the author asked her another important question, too, which is about availability, because you keep hearing people in the media bashing rural America, red states. They keep going in these red states. And she talks about in these rural areas, a lot of this has to do with the fact that you've got people who are being paid. They're not working home at home on the Zoom, making cushy corporate money. And for them, they might have to travel a long way to go get the vaccine. They can't do it. They have to pay time off. They can't take the time off if they get a bad side effect because they'll lose money and they're worried about that. Childcare is also a huge issue for a lot of these people. They can't bring their kids to get the shot with them. They don't have the ability to take off work. They have to take care of their kids. There are all these barriers there. But again, you don't hear about that. All you hear about is the Biden administration mocking people and the media mocking people as well. But then there's other things too. And that is for a lot of people, even people that are people that get vaccines, they are in a wait and see mode. Rural folks, underinsured folks, black folks in particular, they are looking right now at this point, they're kind of wait and see. Anti-vaxxers are incredibly vocal. And because of that, they've been a disproportionate focus of vaccine outreach. But they represent a small part of the people in the country, and especially in communities of color, she said. But there are people right now who are people that have normally gotten vaccines for themselves and for their kids, but have not gotten the vaccine for COVID. And the reason why is, for a lot of this right now, they don't like being broadly demonized. They don't like the fact that they're being mocked. They don't like the fact that they're being belittled. And what happens is they wind up doubling down and saying, I still want to wait. It's my choice. I want to wait. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're people with questions. They're people wondering. They're people talking to their friends who've had bad side effects, and the friends have advised them to wait. They're waiting to see which vaccine will really be most effective. And now a lot of these people are finding out that they're hearing their government people tell them they may have to put masks back on again. So if they've had any reservations about getting the vaccine and they hear they got to put the mask back on, even if they're vaccinated, that's also causing people right now, this doctor says, to turn around and go, well, maybe I'll wait. I'll just wait a few more months. Maybe I'll wait a little bit longer. The best way to reach these people is not Anthony Fauci on television. It's through their groups and their communities. But what the doctor said is, when I talk to people about this, they have a lot of people, a lot of the people that are saying, look, I'm not in a rush to get this. I'd rather wear a mask, or I'd rather do something. I'm going to wait and figure out what's the safest one to get. Should I get the mRNA? Should I get the J&J? Will there be another vaccine that comes to market? I'm not anti-vax. I want to wait, these people were telling this doctor in this piece. That's not what you hear, though. And again, I think the reason why you don't hear that is because everything is political, and the media and people in government so badly want to say that it's Trump supporters who aren't getting vaccinated, and it's a bunch of MAGA people, and they're just anti-vaccine and blah, blah, blah. The truth is, Los Angeles County, California, where you've got some of the highest rates of COVID right now, has some of the lowest rates of the COVID vaccine. And it's not because they're conservative MAGA people out in Los Angeles. There's this whole other group of people, organic people, and they're very healthy, and they're very concerned about this, and they're not getting it either. But they're in blue states, so we don't talk about them. What this doctor found is that when you think about unvaccinated people right now for COVID, you're talking about people in rural areas, you're talking about a lot of people who are Black, and a lot of people who are the working poor, or people that just can't afford to take off time from work. They don't have childcare. They don't have the ability, if they get a bad reaction, to stay home. That's who's really not getting it, for the most part. And yet there's such a tendency right now to make it political and to try to somehow blame Trump for the Delta variant. The Delta variant has nothing to do with that, by the way. Nothing at all. And it didn't start here. Remember that. The Delta variant did not start in America. It started overseas. We have not had a variant start in this country because I believe, and I've said this, we have herd immunity. Because we have enough people vaccinated and enough people have already had the virus with their antibodies that we have herd immunity here. So we don't have variants start in the United States of America. We're dealing with variants that start in other countries. And they come here because we have an open border on the southern border. How do you think the Lambda variant got here? Got here through Peru. How do you think people got here from Peru? They crossed the southern border. They have had now thousands and thousands and thousands of people crossing the southern border and testing positive for COVID-19. What are we doing about that? What the hell are we doing about that? That is a question I need to find out. I think everybody does. But instead, the media and other people are just too ready to just vilify people all the time. There's nothing wrong with taking your time and asking questions and talking to your doctor and trying to figure out what's best for you and your family. Nothing at all. But the way they're acting like you're the reason why, if you're not vaccinated, you're the reason why the Delta variant's here. That's not true. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. The reason why the Delta variant's here is because the Delta variant came around in India, and it spread around the world, and it came here because that's what's happening. We haven't created a variant in this country. We haven't had a variant come around because of us and our efforts. It's another lie the media tells you. Another lie, which is that it's your fault. If you didn't get vaccinated, you're the reason why the Delta variant's spreading. No, that's not true. Vaccinated people are getting the Delta variant, and it looks like, based on what Gottlieb said, they're also spreading it. My point is, I'm sick and tired of the games that are being played in Washington right now by this administration and the media and their cohorts with the insults, the mocking, and everything else that's being done. It's not helpful, not helping a damn thing. It just shows you again, everything becomes political in this country, everything. And the problem is, we as Americans have become deeply distrustful of these scientific experts on TV because they've lied to us. We've watched them. We've listened to them lie to us. We listened to the Surgeon General tell us we don't need masks. We heard Fauci say it. We've listened and we have lost trust in people. There was an excellent op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, how science lost the public's trust. From climate to COVID, politics and hubris have disconnected scientific institutions from the philosophy and method that ought to guide them. Because so many people in science, quote unquote science, have become political and they make everything political. And it's very, very true that what happens in certain places is also because you wind up having the truth suppressed. Take China, for example. There is a book called Viral, The Search for the Origin of COVID-19. It's going to be published in November. And in this book, they say it's horribly clear that Chinese scientists are not free to explain and reveal everything they've been doing with bat viruses. That information has to be dug out by outsiders like him and Ms. Chan. The Chinese authorities ordered all scientists to send their results relevant to the virus to the government before other scientists or international agencies could vet them. That is shocking in the aftermath of a lethal pandemic that has killed millions and devastated the world. The Chinese scientists have had to lie. They've covered up their things, and yet we're supposed to believe the science. And he goes on to talk about other things that we're told, and everything becomes political. And as a result of that, people have lost trust in so many of the authorities on television. Maybe you're one of them. 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. All right, and we do have audio, right, Greg, of people belittling the unvaccinated in America, the unwashed masses?
Yes.
I believe Don Lemon.
Don Lemon goes off. He tries to temper this by saying the actions are idiotic, but we get the point.
But listen, here's the thing. I've got to run, but I just, you know, I've heard over the last couple of days that, you know, you shouldn't be, you don't say bad things about people who don't get the vaccine because then they'll feel like you're attacking them or whatever. But Michael, how much more? You got to call it what it is. If behavior is idiotic and nonsensical, I think that you need to tell people that their behavior is idiotic and nonsensical. Doesn't mean that they are idiots. It's just that their behavior and on this particular point that is not making sense. So I don't understand what has taken people so long and how many people have to die for adults. And why are adults believing people on the internet instead of science and experts?
It's not what they're doing.
Why are they believing Donald Trump, who lies more than he tells the truth on any given day of the week?
What does Trump have to do with this? He got the vaccine. He's the one who led Operation Warp Speed. See what I mean about the media and their lies and the way they try to make everything political and divisive? The people that are not getting the vaccine, it's not because they're reading misinformation on the internet. That's not the truth. The truth is they have questions. They're in a wait and see mode. Many of them are in rural areas. Many of them lack childcare. Many of them lack paid time off. There's a variety of factors. It's not as simple, idiot, as just blaming Trump and Trump supporters and misinformation on the idiot on the internet. All that does is make people upset. And all that does is make people double down on their positions. But hey, if it helps Don Lemon's ratings, I guess it's worth it, right? Does Don Lemon have ratings, by the way? Is that true? Or does he? I don't think that's actually the case. I don't think he has ratings.
Not that great. They've obviously gone down drastically.
What must be what?
All right. Don, you know what's interesting to me, by the way? I was thinking about taking the kids to Disney. I think we're going to wait because I don't want to deal with the nonsense.
The nonsense.
I can't. Somebody
the
told
masks.
Me now because COVID, they don't even have the fast pass right now.
Well,
they suspended the fast pass. Is that true?
Well, is that because they're not that busy, though?
I don't know. Isn't Disney always busy?
I don't think they're as busy. I don't think always, no.
But I tell you what, though. We took the kids to, I told you we took them to the Funplex in Mount Laurel. My daughter Claire is afraid of every ride. So it'd be a total waste of money to go to Disney. Because she'd get there and she'd be afraid of everything. And I think she'd be afraid of the giant mouse, too. In that
creepy
costume. Yeah,
she's at that age. But Patrick's not, is he?
No, Patrick, we went on a roller coaster together. He loved it. He's a little daredevil, my son. He does. He likes that a lot.
Is that how you were?
No, you know what it is with roller coasters? I can do them, but I don't like the ones that go upside down and the loops and everything like they have at Six Flags. That kind of those roller coasters scare the bejesus out of me because I have this fear of it getting stuck upside down. You know what I mean? And you see those pictures sometimes of that happening, where the roller coaster, something happens and they got to stop it.
You're a bat.
Yeah, and you're hanging upside down. That would scare me. I couldn't do that. You know what I mean? So I don't like the upside down thing. I'll do the roller coaster if it stays. I could do like one loop, but I can't do the one. The new ones now have like 13 loops on them. They're insane. You see these new ones they're building?
Yeah, they're huge. I love them. I love roller coasters.
Now, Bill, didn't you used to work at Dorney Park in Wild Water Kingdom?
Sesame Place.
Oh, Sesame Place, yep. Right. They don't really have big roller coasters there.
No, when I was there, they had one. Mm-hmm. Since I left, they added a wooden one. So they only have two. And they're pretty, like, for a child amusement park, they're pretty decent roller coasters in terms of, like, their size and the speed of what they do. So they're pretty up there in terms of, for kids, it's older kids, I would say, so...
I don't know. I like them. I just, I have that fear of getting stuck upside down. Like, we were in the Ferris wheel, and we went down to South Philly and did that whole summer thing, and we did the Ferris wheel, and you get to the top,
mm-hmm.
and then they stop it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're letting passengers in.
Yep.
On the Wildwood Boardwalk when I was probably, I don't know, 11 or 12. I was with my dad. We were on the Ferris wheel, and we got stuck up at the very top for probably 2 hours.
Are you kidding me? 2 hours?
Yeah, it was scary.
So when
I thought somebody was gonna have to like climb up, and I was gonna have to climb down.
Well, yeah, were they communicating with you during that time period?
They were. Yeah, they had like a crane that came up, and they said, we're working on this. We should be able to get it down.
The crane went up, but they didn't take you out and put you in the crane.
Well, there was no way to. It would have been way too dangerous to do that.
Yeah. You know? Guy gets up in the crane. He's like, "Hey, how you doing? I'm not here to rescue you. I'm just here to let you know, just stay put." And then the crane goes back down. You're like, "Wait, get back here."
My dad was fuming.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Yeah. Awful. Like being a father now, I 100% get that. Like, is this how I die, me and my son up on the top of a Ferris wheel, you know?
And of course, your dad was like, "No, we're fine, son." Like, he wasn't portraying that. He was just doing that internally.
Yes.
Because he didn't want to freak you out.
No, you got to maintain composure in those moments. All right, Dawn, good morning. How are you today?
And good morning. Doing great. Zioli Show News Live. We're at 76 degrees. So we have a Zioli Show follow-up on Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf's handling of COVID cases that turned deadly, of course, in Pennsylvania's nursing homes. So Wolf gets a pass from the U.S. Department of Justice. So the agency announced it will not open an investigation into whether or not Pennsylvania violated any federal laws by ordering nursing homes to accept residents treated for COVID-19. So the U.S. Department of Justice informing Wolf's administration of that decision after they say they reviewed data supplied by state officials. And as you know, as Zioli has talked a lot about over the past year and a half, Pennsylvania nursing homes, as well as long-term care facilities, accounted for more than half of the state's COVID-19.
I also saw that the Department of Justice will not pursue any investigations into Pennsylvania's nursing homes or New York's nursing homes or New Jersey's nursing homes. All the death that happened, the Department of Justice now will not be doing any investigations. The United States Department of Justice.
So they get a pass. All of our states across our region.
Republican Steve Scalise called the decision by the DOJ not to investigate these Democrat-run states disgraceful. And he's absolutely right, by the way. Absolutely right.
Speaking of the word disgrace, an interesting story with U.S. Representative Dwight Evans, Philadelphia congressman, joining a growing chorus of officials calling on Mayor Jim Kenney for a more robust response to address the escalating violence in our city. So Evans sending a letter to the mayor saying Kenney must take immediate action on reducing all the homicides, all the shootings, both of which are on track to surpass historic highs. So Mayor Jim Kenney under increasing scrutiny here, and now Dwight Evans piling on. And this morning, of course, the headline with violence is a shooting right near Temple University's campus has claimed the life of a young woman. We don't know if she's a Temple student or what. That is still under investigation. In fact, detectives still on that scene as of early this morning. I want to talk about a growing trend in my final story, because we've talked, Zioli has talked a lot about back to school here on the Zioli Show. In Philadelphia, schools reopen August 31st with a mask policy, even if your child is over 12, even if your child has been fully vaccinated, they still have to wear a mask for back to school. So there's this growing trend, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, that reports the rising, skyrocketing rate, really, but a rising rate of people deciding to homeschool their children. So it rose to 11%. It doubled as of September, so of last year. And now they are predicting we could see it rise drastically again. And what's interesting is within African-American, within Black households, that's where the largest jump of the homeschooling rate is. So it has risen. The National Black Home Educators, a national group, say that they're seeing their organization alone went from 5,000 members pre-pandemic to more than 35,000 and growing.
Wow.
So it's really an interesting trend, as you know, and this goes into what, you know, what you've talked about.
Well, it's going to happen more because now parents are turning around going, I don't want my kids wearing masks. Yes. I don't want to have to worry about my kids being sent home, some nonsense because of some variant. So I think you're going to see even more parents do that. If parents have the ability to do it, yes, go. They're going all in. They're saying, why not?
Yeah, so I think it's, and in think of Pennsylvania, we're one of the number one homeschooling states in America. So this will be interesting to follow, and it really goes along with all of, I mean, it's really consistent with what you've said, what Zioli has said over the past year and a half, what's happening in all of these, watching the trends, watching the demographics, and then watching us leading up to the next important election where, I don't know, maybe we'll see a red wave. Zioli's kind of predicted that.
I'm just saying that the school issue is the most significant issue in this election coming up. There's no doubt about that in my mind. None.
Interesting.
And you see the way parents are reacting, too.
Yeah.
And I think you can feel a collective nervousness. I was talking to some parents over the weekend, and they're all nervous about kids having to wear masks in school. They're all very nervous about it. Nobody, I haven't talked to anyone who wants their kids in masks in the fall, and yet I feel like everybody knows it's coming.
Yeah, I think you're right, unfortunately. Well, Zioli Show news and weather, sponsored by WSFS Bank. So the NBC 10 First Alert forecast, today 91 degrees. A sunny stretch takes us through the week, through the weekend. Today 91, tomorrow 93. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we start dipping down into some really beautiful weather, mid-80s. So just gorgeous weather. Local banking is about more than just having local offices. When you bank with WSFS, pronounced WSFS, your money stays right here in Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. It's local, helping the communities where you live and work. WSFS Bank, WSFS Bank. They stand for service. This is Zioli Show News Live.
All right, John, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. David is in Ocean County, New Jersey. David, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. I listen to you every morning. I really love your show.
Thank you, David. What's up?
My point is that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the all of the vaccines that are out there at this point are approved by the FDA in an emergency type status, as opposed to being approved by the FDA for like all of the other vaccines that we've all had. And I think that's one of the reasons for the reticence in getting the vaccine.
Well, I agree. I think that there's many people, and this is what Dr. Boyd found in what they talked about in this Atlantic piece. There are a lot of people who are concerned about getting it until it's approved, fully approved by the FDA. There is that hesitancy that's there. It doesn't mean that they're anti-vax. They get labeled that way. They're just waiting. They want to see if it gets full approval.
Agreed. And I think that's, I mean, at least for my group, that I'm with, those that are unvaccinated, that's their primary reason for not getting it. Don't want to be a guinea pig.
And then Don Lemon calls them idiots, though.
We have an opinion on Don Lemon as well.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, some people have the opinion.
Just don't have the platform.
You're never going to motivate people by insulting them. You have to recognize people's concerns as legitimate and talk to them about it. That's the way it has to be. And if the FDA comes out and approves this, I do think you're going to see some people then being willing to do it. There's always a chance the FDA may not approve this anytime soon. I mean, who knows? You know, that's the other question, too, David. I think a lot of people have. Remember, during the election, we heard Kamala Harris and Joe Biden telling people they would be very concerned about taking a vaccine that was rushed. Do you remember that?
I agree. And, you know, President Trump put it through. And it's so far, it's done a great job. But I don't believe that. I think the I don't know if there's resistance from the FDA or what. But I do believe that that's a primary reason as to why people aren't getting that vaccine. It's not something I'm interested in at this point.
If it is approved by the FDA, then does that change your mind?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, at that point, then, you know, I'm assuming that they've gone through as much testing as they possibly can. And now they certainly have a live test of a great deal of people who've already had that vaccine. And hopefully they've taken into account the problems or, you know, potential problems with the vaccine. And they still say, yes, it's worthwhile doing. And no, there's no significant problems with it.
David, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Good call. Good conversation. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Don't forget, I'm going to launch my afternoon podcast today. You have to subscribe to it. It's free, of course, but you subscribe to it wherever you listen to your podcast, and you'll get it. And it'll be like 45 minutes. Give you an update of what's going on in the day. Help you drive home, your commute home, be a little more fun. All right, so do that. Please do that. Subscribe to that, to my podcast. I would appreciate it. Different from this show's podcast. You got to subscribe to this show's podcast, too. This show and that. You got two podcasts to subscribe to. But you're an intelligent person. You can do it. You can figure it out. Mom, I'll help you after the show. All right? Because I already know my mother's going to be going, how do I get your podcast? So I'll help you after the show. All right? I'm not saying you're not an intelligent person, mother. I love you. I'm just saying. I know. I can feel it. I can sense it. All right. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.